This morning, this is the third message on their series of five messages on the plurality of elder leadership. The first message, Pastor Bruce explored God's design for church leadership, indicating the biblical concept of elder plurality, which is God's inherited design, or his intentional design found in the New Testament, and to provide accountability, shared wisdom, and spiritual maturity through a team of elders. Now, we just experienced an election this past week. In our country, it's founded on democratic values, for the people, by the people, but sometimes that rubs off into the church, where we feel that things also should be done in a democratic manner. Sometimes we have the tendency for our church to run that way as well. And also there may be a tendency sometimes for a church to have what we call an autocratic, to be autocratic, in other words, have one leader that takes care of everything, runs the show, everything. But we see here that God's intention is for to be a theocratic, where God rules through his divine appointed elders or his divine appointed leaders through his word and following his will through the Holy Spirit. I really didn't realize how biblical the elder model is until working this past week and getting ready for this message. Not only is this outlined in the New Testament in Paul's letters, but it's also alluded to in the Gospels as well as even in the Old Testament, you know, where the principle of a plurality of elders and God's intention for the leadership of the church. Last week, Pastor Bruce went over the qualifications of elders, exploring the high calling and the moral qualifications of those serving as elders. So today we're going to explore the function and role of elders according to the scripture. We will look at the responsibilities of elders, including shepherding the flock, guarding sound doctrine, and providing spiritual oversight to their flock of believers. We will discuss these responsibilities under the following headings. And I want you to remember these three words: direction, protection, and correction. And we'll go under each. Talk about the elders' responsibilities under all three of those headings. Let's stand for our reading of our text today. The first section, we have three different scriptures, and the scriptures will be here where you can read them, since we need to turn to different scriptures. The first scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Okay. Oh, okay. I thought the text would come up. Okay. All right. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The second scripture is taken from Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And the setting here is Paul talking to the elders of the Ephesian church, giving his farewell. And he tells them in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And the last scripture taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your elders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You may be seated. A few comments about these scriptures before we go further. The scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, talks about, we'll see in verse 1, that Peter calls himself a fellow elder. Now, if you look at the very first verse in the book of 1 Peter, he calls himself an apostle. So he changes his description here to a fellow elder. And I think this will be encouraging to the elders of the early churches for which this letter is written, which certainly had its share of problems, like a lot of churches have. We'll see here that the term elder, overseer, and shepherd are used interchangeably. I think Peter was quite sensitive about this idea about being a shepherd to the flock, because in the last chapter of John, you know, Jesus told Peter directly, "Feed my sheep." And I think this was on Peter's mind as he wrote this to these churches. Jesus, the good shepherd. Being a shepherd is a metaphor for, even in the Old Testament, for the leaders of Israel. And then even in the Gospels, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd as well. In the second scripture in Acts 20, verse 28, in Paul's farewell to the Ephesians elders, he also uses shepherds and overseers in an interchangeable manner. Now, the three words I mentioned earlier, let's say them together: direction, protection, and correction. Let's say them all together. Direction, protection, and correction. These are the three main responsibilities and headings of the responsibility of elders according to the scripture. We'll first talk about direction. Elders are to shepherd the flock. Things that a shepherd does can be a good metaphor for what the elder does. The shepherd, shepherding the flock or being an elder, cares for the spiritual well-being of the congregation, guiding them in godliness, encouraging their growth in Christ. We just read from 1 Peter 5, verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, as God wants you to be. Part of caring is learning to know the sheep, not only know them by name, but also know their cares and their situations, their problems. I'm told often in my profession that people don't care how much you know, they just want to know how much you care. Well, that's right, that's a good principle, but in being an elder, you know, I think they need to know the scriptures as well as realize the importance of caring for the flock. Something you'll notice through both of these, through all of the responsibilities in direction, protection, and correction, prayer is sort of a common denominator through all three. Praying for the church is a responsibility of the elder. Prayer is a vital part of shepherding, not only private prayers and individual prayers, but prayer together as an elder team, as a leadership team, to discern the Spirit's direction for the body of believers. Also praying for the sick, for individual problems and situations. James 5, verses 14 and 15 says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Elders also must be able to teach the flock. And that's one of the qualifications that Pastor Bruce read in 1 Timothy 3:2. One of the qualifications of the elder should be able to share God's word. Share and know sound doctrine with others. He must know and understand the scriptures. The elder must be grounded in sound biblical doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church will be worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Now, when we talk about the plurality of elders, I think the team should be unified in purpose, but may show diversity in gifts. And that alludes to the fact that there may be a lead elder who takes the lead in preaching or teaching, but is an equal part of the team. The term first among equals is used to describe this. So with a team of elders in place, our pastoral search needs to be modified or adjusted to discover someone to fit the role of lead elder or first among equals. Elders must lead by example. The elders are called to model Christ-like humility and character. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We just read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. It says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Another thing that elders must do in directing the church is equipping the saints. Elders help believers discover their use of spiritual gifts, encourage discipleship, service, and maturity in Christ. Elders are to facilitate the use of the believers' spiritual gifts, help train future elders and leaders in our church. In Larry Kreider's book on the biblical role of elders for today's church, he calls elders should be spiritual parents. In other words, have spiritual sons and daughters that they can train and bring up to help facilitate their spiritual gifts and leadership gifts. Also, I feel that the elders need to help facilitate the vision of the church. And specifically for us and our body of believers and our congregation, our vision, building relationships, serving families, and serving Christ. The vision team, this is the vision that has been outlined for us to concentrate on from our vision team, building relationships, serving families, and sharing Christ. And we need to certainly pray for our vision implementation team as they explore ways to implement our vision. Okay, so we've talked about direction. Elders, part of their responsibility is direction of the flock. The second is protection of the flock. Again, part of the shepherd's role is to protect the flock. Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders, we read verse 28, but I want to read a little further. Starting to verse 28 again, it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. Part of the elders' responsibility is to keep God's people safe through prayer, sound doctrine, and servant leadership. The elders protect the flock from false teaching, divisive behavior, and moral compromise. They do not accept any teaching or tradition that contradicts God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I'd mentioned earlier that prayer is a common denominator through all aspects of the elders' responsibilities and leadership activities. Elders pray for their believers, or pray for the believers under their care. And we have to remember that as shepherds of the flock, it's not the elders' flock, it's God's flock. And we pray for the believers under the elders' care. Not only pray privately, but pray together as an elder team. The support shepherds are encouraged to pray daily for the sheep or the ones that are assigned under their care. I know at the spiritual leadership team, we had a little retreat, and we went through praying for our congregation, went down through the directory and prayed for each one of you. Now, the third category of responsibility is correction. Direction, protection, correction. Elders need to be prepared to lead through trials and difficult situations. They need to work with conflict resolution. Elders need to be, or to be, peacemakers. Elders need to listen well, speak the truth in love, and seek reconciliation. Titus 2:15, part of that verse says, encourage and rebuke with all authority. The purpose of correction is for restoration, not for humiliation or punishment or exclusion. It's for restoration. The early church had issues and problems that needed correction. In fact, the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 5 talks about, or Paul is correcting the Corinthian church about the blatant sin of immorality. Titus 3:10 talks about dealing with a divisive member. 1 Timothy 1:3 has instructions to correct those teaching false doctrine. Elders need to follow the biblical steps of church discipline with love, patience, and clarity. And those steps are outlined in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted as well. At the end of the Great Commission, which we are quite familiar with, we have the command, or the command there in Matthew 28, verse at the end of chapter 28, it talks about the command to go, or while you're going, to make disciples. But something I think we don't sometimes, or we don't look at sometimes, is Matthew 28, 20. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I think that can be part of correction. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of age. Certainly the role of elders in correction is to teach the church to obey Christ's commands and live holy lives. All too often I feel church leaders try to keep everyone happy instead of promoting obedience to Christ and promoting holiness or holy lives. In conclusion, today let's look at our last text, Hebrews 13, 17. I want to read that again. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. We need to submit joyfully to our church leadership as they submit to and obey God. We see, we've talked about the functions, the role of the elders is to direct, protect, and correct their flock. The three words, direction, protection, correction. Please pray for our church leaders. The spiritual leadership team and church council have a heavy agenda and need your fervent prayers as we navigate the direction as we feel God is calling us to go. Let's pray. Dear God, we humbly come before you to ask your guidance, your direction, as well as your protection and correction as we need it. We pray that you will just help us have a desire to just look to you and to you only as we navigate avenues to investigate and explore our church leadership. We thank you for each one of us, each one in our flock, in this body of believers. We pray that you'll just help us all realize that we want to follow your will and do that which, and just do that which you have outlined for us to do. In your name we pray, amen.